So as they are leaving and going to their classes, I'd like us to be opening up our Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I want to pray first. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. Father, we want to learn from your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. We want to know Jesus more. Lift up his name. Help us, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 1. As many of you know, the past few weeks we were in the States in Colorado. And we saw our children and our grandchildren. That was really good. You know, when our children, and you parents, you can relate. When our children walk with our Lord Jesus, when they walk with our risen Savior, when they stand in that salvation that is in our God, and when they sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him, we feel and we know it is good. It is really good. It brings joy to our souls. And it's truly a wonderful blessing when our children and our grandchildren, our loved ones, are following our Savior and our Redeemer. However, when our children don't, when our loved ones don't, it grieves our hearts, doesn't it? It really grieves us. And many of us don't know what to do. As we were in the States this past few weeks, we saw that there, and I'm sure here, but there are so many distractions. So many distractions. We see our children, their spouses, everything is pulling them this way and that way and this way and that way and vying for their attention, vying for almost their worship. There's many philosophies, many teachings, and you could pick and choose. If you don't like this, pick this one. And they're vying for their hearts and minds. Sometimes there's a tendency for us to then soften our opinions, to soften our faith about Jesus and living for him and living for the life, living the life that he wants of us and wants for us. We search our hearts. Each one of us here wants a good life, don't we? We want to be happy. We want to be content. We look around us and we see glimpses of it here and there. We see some that seem to have the good life, maybe even a great life. They seem happy and they're prospering. And we may envy and we may be jealous of them because they have so much. Our society, our culture, our authorities often promise a life that seems blessed. However, if you look at the big picture, it is a life that is lacking at best and perhaps subtly evil. In our world today, it is hard to know who to believe. Who has the right way? Today, some of you may be even asking yourselves, should I believe what Pastor Michael is going to say? Should I believe what he's going to be reading here? Because perhaps you heard something very, very different about Jesus, about Scripture, about life. Who has the right way? You know, as we look at Psalms, as we look at Psalm 1, we kind of get the big picture here. The main feature of all the Psalms is a devotional character. Some have said it kind of gives us the heart and mind of Christ. There are prayers, there are praises. It talks about God's nature, his attributes, his perfections. It talks about creation, his grace. It talks about his supremacy over heaven and earth, hell even, how holy he is, how wise and powerful he is. He talks about our Redeemer, God's infinite love and his forgiveness of sin. He talks about repentance. He talks about faith in our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. However, we read of temptations in here too, and conflict. We read of perplexities. We read of doubts in the Psalms as well. We read of fears and overwhelming grief sometimes. But yet we read of joy and hope and pardon, victory over seductions of false-hearted flatterers, and deliverance from Satan. The Psalms. So much to learn from this book. And as we look at Psalm 1, we first read, "Blessed is the man." Many blessings, and that word is in the plural. Blessedness, blessings is the man. Many blessings is the man. Why? He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And what are the wicked counseling? Well, we read in Romans 1:32, "Though they know God's righteous decree, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them." What are they counseling? Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own evil desires, their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." Many around us say, "Jesus? He's not coming again. Jesus? He's just a myth. He's a legend. He's like Robin Hood. He's like Hercules. Jesus?" They counsel the wicked. They believe it is the truth, what they counsel. But it is their wisdom, their knowledge. And to them it seems without error. And for many of us at times it seems to be without error. It seems right. They clothe their errors in the clothing of caution, wisdom, and knowledge. The psalmist cautions us with very descriptive word pictures that their way is not what it appears to be. Jude, one of Jesus's brothers, wrote, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." They deny the Master. They say he's no Master. He's no one to be listened to and to be obeyed. They deny his Lordship. Oh, he's certainly not God. He's just a good man. He's just a prophet. But yet we're instructed, don't give in, don't agree, and don't act according to what the wicked counsel. And some may be members of our own family. Many of you know that I came from a family, a religious family, but a family in which, to put it rightly, a personal saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ was not taught. It was a matter of do's and don'ts. It was a family in which living out the gospel of Jesus Christ, you didn't do. It wasn't part of the teaching in the family that I grew up in. And I remember As I study the Word of God, I believe God showed me some verses. In Jeremiah 12, 5 and 6. This is something that I needed in a time when my family, those around me, the wicked who are counseling me to leave the way of Jesus, to go another way, to leave this salvation. This is two verses that spoke to me. It says, if you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket or the wilderness of the Jordan? Very descriptive word picture. You think it's easy, hard? This is nothing what God was saying to Jeremiah. For even your brothers and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They are in full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you. At a time when I needed to focus on my Lord Jesus Christ and pull away from that religion, pull away from that teaching, I believe God gave me these words. He gave me these words so I wouldn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. I wouldn't listen to the counsel of those who said, you're gone too far. You don't need to know the scripture. You don't need to obey Jesus. You just need to do this, 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 and this. They are wise to do evil, these people. They act deliberately in sinning. They scheme. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Does not walk in their way, does not stop and say, oh, let me think about this. Perhaps what they are teaching is right, and I should do this and follow this way. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers, proud and arrogant people. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. They're proud and they're arrogant. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Day and night he delights in God's word. And what does it mean to delight? What does it mean to delight? He loves God's way. He loves God's law. Many would say it's all do's and don'ts. And for those who don't have the Spirit of God within them, or their sin in their lives, it would appear like it's all do's and don'ts. For many, this is one of my favorite candies. Thank you, Merrick. This is one of my favorite candies, okay? Now, for many, when they open this delight, it's just a rock. It's nothing. It's nothing. They say, oh, God's word, it's useless. It's no good. I'm just going to throw it out. But for the one who is blessed, who hasn't followed the way of sinners, who hasn't stood in the way of sinners, hasn't sat with them and joined together with them, God's word, his law, is like the real thing. The real thing. That's so good. That's so delightful. It's so delicious. I love this. I want to keep on eating this, but I can't. Because I get sick, I get fat. But boy, is this really good. I delight in this chocolate. Oh, it's so good. Thank you, Mary. Thank you. It is so good. Man, I want to keep on doing that, but I can't. I delight in that. And I want to delight more in the law of God. I want to delight more in reading His Word. I want to delight more in prayer. I want to be the one who lives, sits, walks in blessedness. I want that for my life. And these are not merely do's and don'ts for me. These are words of love. These are words of relationship. These are words of getting to know an infinite, amazing God, but yet He's so infinite, but He is right here. And He walks, and He wants to sit with you. And He wants you to walk and to stand and sit with Him. He delights in God's law on this scripture. You have to remember, when this psalm was written, there was only the first five books of the Bible, pretty much, as far as we know. And the psalmist is saying, I delight, meditate on them day and night. And for you and I who have so much more, there's so much more that we have. And I want to delight in God's word. I want to delight in my relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know Him more. I want to walk more closely. He loves me. I love Him. When I first got to know Debbie, I wanted to be with her all the time. I loved her. You don't grow in a relationship by keeping somebody way far away. You don't. That's not how you grow in a relationship. You spend time together. You spend time together. How can I spend time with my Lord Jesus? Reading the Word, meditating on the Word, and prayer with other believers as well. You know, for many, God's law, these do's and don'ts, they're like this egg. I love eggs. I really like a good soft-boiled, hard-boiled egg, depending on my mood. I love them. I enjoy them. But you know, for some, that egg is just nothing. There's nothing there. What a waste. What a waste. I hate eggs. I hate eggs. I don't want to spend time. I don't want to eat those eggs. And perhaps that's how you feel when it comes to God's Word. Maybe that's how you feel when it comes to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you don't have the Spirit of God within you. Perhaps there is sin in your life. And it's like that empty egg now. But the Spirit of God is in your life. And sin, you haven't walked in the counsel of the wicked. You haven't stood in the way of sinners. And you don't sit in their seat. But you delight in God's law. You meditate on it. It's like a real hard-boiled egg or a soft-boiled egg. And there's a real egg in there, everybody. And that is delicious, if you like eggs. Okay? Eggs, chocolates, God's Word. What does He say here? Day and night, continually meditating, thinking about God's Word. And this person is like a tree. He's like a tree. You know, many of you know that I'm not getting younger. Let's see if I can find that one. Let's see. This one here. And I take particularly delight in this scripture right here. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is not unrighteousness in him. The righteous flourish even in old age. Even in old age they flourish. Even in old age they bear fruit. Why? Because they have delighted in God's law. They have meditated on it day and night. They have enjoyed the law of the Lord. They have enjoyed following our Lord Jesus Christ. But then it says, before that, and the righteous, it says, bear their fruit in season. Now, here's a grapefruit. Now, I don't know where this one is from, but I do know that grapefruits, if you're in Florida, in the United States, they come ripe in January. Now, if you know anything about the States, January can be very, very cold there. But these, in the southern part of the U.S., they are ripened in January and February. That's their season. Now, bananas. Debbie and I, when we lived in Kenya so long ago, we grew bananas. I mean, we really had so many bananas, okay? And the thing about a banana, if you water it and if you fertilize it, pretty much it's going to bear fruit all year, or all year long, okay, if you take good care of them. So their season was kind of all year. Now, I grew up in the state, in the city of New York, but in the state of New York, and New York State apples are really to die for, okay? Now, this is not from New York State, so I can't vouch for these. But when I was young, we would go up to the orchards, and we would pick apples in September, October. That was their season in New York State. Apples in their season. And then I know nothing about kiwis. I know nothing about them. I just know they're in season now. At least they're being sold now, so this must be their season. Dunn's has a great, great bargain. Okay. And then mandarins, tangerines, clementines, what else do we call them? Wherever you're from, they seem to be called something different. Okay? And they seem to be in season all year. So I don't know how that works. Maybe like bananas, huh? But trees, fruit trees, bear their fruit in season. In its season. And its leaf does not wither. The wicked do not bear fruit. Matter of fact, as we look here, the wicked are like chaff. We, as I said, let me see if I can hope. There we go. We lived in Kenya, okay, for a number of years. And unfortunately, I don't have the rice that I need, or I don't have what we call the nuteo. I don't have that. But the ladies would get the rice, okay, and they would put it in that, and then they just go like this. And they had a special way of doing it. I mean, we could ask Debbie to demonstrate, but they had a special way of getting it so that the rice went back into that and didn't go on the ground, and then the chaff just blew away. And it's not like you needed a windy day. It was so light, it was so nothing, it just blew away. So it's interesting that the writer says, the wind drives it away. The force of that word picture, the wind is going to drive it away. It is not going to be there anymore. The wicked are like the chaff, useless, good for nothing. Useless and good for nothing because of the life they have chosen. However, let me continue to read. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord knows your way if you are in Jesus. He knows your way. He is there. He hears. He hears your prayers. He walks with you. But the way of the wicked, it will perish. It will be no more. But our God knows your way and will be forever and ever, because Jesus is the way. If you are not in the congregation of the righteous today, if you are standing with the wicked, know this, that in Jesus there is forgiveness of sins. And my prayer, my pleading, my persuasion of you is to repent and turn. Turn to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sin. And if there are struggles going on in your heart, if there are doubts, if there is sin, I ask that you would repent of that and walk with our Lord Jesus Christ as he seeks to walk with you. Stand with our Lord Jesus Christ and be firm in the faith and sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus and learn from him. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Father, I do pray that each one of us here would look to Jesus, would walk with him, stand by his side as he stands by our side, and that we would sit at his feet. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.